Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. It's Jesse Green of the control panels, as always. And today I want to say welcome back to 2020. It's going to be a fantastic year and I'm really excited about what lies ahead. And in this episode, I want to share with you some thoughts, some practical strategies to help you make 2020 your best year ever. Now, before we do get into that conversation, just a couple of little things. If you've not yet found out about the Savvy Dentist Academy, please go and check it out. There's a heap of things there for you. What the Academy is, it's a blueprint as well as a set of resources and support structures to help you make your year the best ever. What I figure is that most people, when it comes to business success, they want a plan, they want to have some resources, and they want some support. And that's what we've put together in the Savvy Dentist Academy. So it's content on demand and coaching on the go, and it's there for you. Now, of course, when it comes to setting up the year for success, I do think it's important to look back as well, to look in the rearview mirror and to take the lessons from 2019 and think what worked well, what were some of the things that we're really proud of, what are the lessons we can take from that, but equally, what were some of the oopses, some of the boo-boos, some of the missteps so that we can take the lessons from those as well. So what I'm going to suggest you do as a first step in making 2020 a great year is to reflect on 2019 and think, well, what can we do to learn from the year and to make this year even better? So as many of you know, we talk about creating a practice that is profitable, scalable, and valuable. And we look at that as a bit of a hierarchy of needs. You know, obviously, you know, from a business perspective, we want to make sure that you're earning more. As you create scale, you have time become freer. And of course, as you create a valuable business, it's about wealth, it's about legacy, it's about meaning. And there's three big principles that I really want to talk about today. And the first one really is to design your future. The second big principle is really about earning more money and making sure you've got the structures in place. And the third principle is about leveraging your time. And the reason we want to talk about these principles is we want to show you how to create a practice and a life that you love. Not just a practice that you love and not just a life that you love, but both. We want it to be an and, so a practice and a life that you love. And of course, you know, many people talk about work-life balance, and I think that's a bit of a misnomer. I want to talk about work-life integration because ultimately I think it's just life. And I think that if we can make sure that we're creating a practice that supports our life, then we're going to be well on the way to success. And while we're talking about success, I think it's important to understand that success is a very important definition that is unique to you. It's no point trying to build a business or a life that you think is you're going to satisfy someone else's definition of success, because ultimately success is personal. And we've got to make sure that we're setting your business up to support your version of success and no one else's. So the first big thing we want to talk about today is designing your future. But commonly what happens is people just get too busy. They're too caught up to take the time to plan. And they're busy in the day-to-day thinking about all the things that need to be done. And my suggestion is that you pause and you reflect and you plan. And there's that great saying that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Now, the second issue, of course, when it comes to designing your future is people aren't always sure what they want. They can't quite figure it out. They're not really sure where they want to land. And finally, even if they are sure, it feels like they've got this huge mountain to climb. And you know, that's a bit of a challenge. It feels like, you know, you've got this Everest to climb, and it can be daunting. And that all just means that things often don't translate to action, when really what we want to be able to do is we want to be able to spend time on the activities that are going to make the most difference. So we want to be able to prioritize. We want to get clear about what you really want, and you want to have a process that's manageable, and you want to have a pathway to achieve that rather than feeling like you've got a mountain to climb. You've got a straight line path from where you are to where you want to get to. So my view is that when it comes to planning, we've got to be able to reverse engineer, and we've got to be able to reverse engineer our big picture vision down to where we are in 3 years and 1 year. So it begins with a 10-year vision. We then look at 3-year goals and 1-year milestones. But there's that great saying, I think it's a Tony Robbins saying actually, that we overestimate what we can achieve in a year, but often underestimate what we can achieve in a decade. So what I'm going to suggest you do is firstly get very clear about where you want to be in a decade. And you might say, look, it's now the beginning of 2030. I'm however old I am. From a practice perspective, I'd like the revenue to be X. I'd like the free cash flow or the earnings before owner's compensation or the net profit to be X. I want to be working so many hours clinically. I want to be working so many hours on the business. And I want to make sure that my effective hourly rate is whatever it happens to be. So you might want to put some metrics around your practice. You could talk about your team. You could talk about the number of locations. You could talk about any of those things that are relevant to your practice and your business. Then you might want to look at your 10-year vision as it relates to your personal circumstances. Where are you up to with your family, your education? What opportunities might you be taking advantage of? What sort of hobbies might you be pursuing? Any of those sorts of things. If you've got kids, how old are your kids going to be? What's going to be happening in the life of your family? And then what you're going to then look at is your wealth, your financial wealth. And you might think, well, what do I want my net worth to be? How much cash do I want in reserve? What investments might I have happening? So on and so forth. And finally, in a 10-year vision, we want to look at what does your day-to-day look like? What's your time spent like on a day-to-day basis in 10 years' time? Is it that you're taking your kids to school and picking them up? Is it that you're spending a certain amount of time with your husband or wife or partner so that you can enjoy that time together? You get the gist. So you want to make sure that you're looking at your 10-year vision through the lens of your practice, through the lens of your personal life, through the lens of your wealth, and then through the lens of your day-to-day activities. And once you've got that clarity, that really helps you think about, okay, if that's my 10-year vision, what do I need to be achieving in 3 years? And what do I want to be doing in 1 year? What do those metrics need to look like? And am I on track or am I off track? And so while we're talking about that, we need to then understand, if I've got this vision that I want to fulfill in 10 years' time, do I have the right business model to be able to achieve it? Am I working as a self-employed dentist in a practice? And maybe I'm doing really well with that. Maybe I've got a Lady Gaga type of business model where I turn up, I perform and I go, but I make really good money when I do it. Or am I looking for something that's got a bit more leverage? Maybe I'm looking to have some associates. Maybe I'm looking to have some therapists. Maybe I want to have multiple practices. And I want to just really take a moment to pause here, because I see that there is a trend to multi-practice ownership, and I think that's great. There's nothing wrong with that, and I've got lots of clients that do it, and they do it really well, and we help them with that. But I've also got clients that have a rock star kind of business, and they do just as well. In fact, economically, some of them do better. But the challenge with a rock star business is you don't get the same time flexibility, the same time freedom. So you've got to decide on what's going to be the type of business model that you've got. And then from there, it's a matter of saying, okay, if my 10-year vision is such and such and my current business model is whatever it is, am I able to stay with that business model, or do I need to change the business model indeed? And so then really we need to figure out what needs to occur there. So if you're wanting to grow within your existing business model, maybe it's a case of just attracting more patients. Maybe it's a case of having a more skilled team. Maybe it's a case of, you know, documenting my systems and processes, or maybe it's a matter of identifying risk and having mitigation in place, all those sorts of things. But you need to be able to understand, can you achieve what you want to achieve with your existing business model? And if you can, great. But if you can't, then what needs to happen? Do you adjust your 10-year vision, which I would suggest not, or do you then go, okay, what sort of business model would I need to have in place to achieve my 10-year vision, and then start making strategic changes towards that? So again, that's really, really key. Now, the second concept I wanted to talk about today was about earning more. And you know, candidly, you know, I have the opportunity to speak to lots of practices, most of whom I don't get the opportunity to work with. But what I notice is that cash flow for some practices is quite tight, and they're often feeling like they're on the precipice, you know, like they're one event away from a financial problem, whether the compressor were to break or suction goes down or something. And then others are feeling like the bank account goes up and down, and it's a bit of a roller coaster road. And many people just feel a bit stuck and they're treading water and just getting by. When in reality, what they want to be able to have is that peace of mind where they're able to sleep at night, they've got consistent cash flow coming in, day out, and they're in control of that. And not only are they in control, but they're creating wealth for themselves, for their family. And so what that means is they need to have a blueprint. They need to have a financial blueprint, something that works all the time. Now, we have a blueprint called the Money Machine, and it's really designed to be, you know, really clear about what generates cash flow in a practice. And when you think about this, it's like having a Formula One car. On a Formula One car, you don't have mirrors, a rear view mirror. You don't have a cigarette lighter. You don't have a CD player. You don't have a boot to put your luggage in. You take away all the things that could potentially slow the car down. And so the Money Machine really is the Formula One version of getting money through the door, keeping cash flow flowing through the business. It cuts away all the extraneous things that you could do, and it comes back to the essential things that every practice needs, and it's the 80-20 rule. It's what drives most of the results. And what I've observed around this is that this Money Machine works no matter whether you're in rural, whether you're in metro, whether you're a high-end practice, a more family-oriented practice, whether you're wanting to have two or three practices, the same Money Machine works over and over again. And what that means is we need to make sure that we've got enough new patient flow, we've got an ability to keep people in our database and plug the leaks in our database. And the three big leaks are typically the recall system, incomplete treatment, and of course, cancellations and no-shows. We need to have a process for presenting treatment and measuring the conversion rates. We want to have structure in the appointment book because we all understand that you can be busy but not productive. So we want to have productive appointment books. And we've got to have some sort of financial measuring and tracking in place so that we know that we're on the right path. And finally, we need a dashboard. A dashboard is like you'd have in a car or any other type of vehicle where you can see how the engine is performing. And once you can see how the engine is performing, you can then fine tune and tweak and tune up the engine so it's producing the best possible results for you. So we do need to have all those pieces working in harmony together. If you've got one thing out of harmony, the whole engine suffers. And so it is the combination of those things, not just one thing, that makes the engine work really, really well. So every single practice needs a Money Machine. And at the heart of that really is a financial forecast where you're making projections, you're looking into the future and anticipating what your finances are going to be. And you need to have some structures to maximize revenue and to maximize cash flow. So, of course, when it comes to maximizing revenue, there's only three ways. You can see more patients, you can see those patients more frequently, or you can increase the average dollar spend per transaction. And that's it. Everything else is a detail, but they all fall into those three categories. And I want to share with you that if you can make small changes to each of those three categories, you can compound that out to have big results. So just as an example, if you were to have 10% increase in the number of patients, if you had a 10% increase in the frequency with which those patients came to the practice, you know, which is recalls and all that sort of stuff, and if you had a 10% increase in the average transaction size across the board, then you're going to end up with a 33% uplift in your revenue. And that's significant. And of course, 10% is not that hard. And even if you said, I wanted to achieve 3% in those three categories, you're going to end up with a 10% uplift as well across the whole practice. So it really is a case of small hinges swinging big doors. So if you've got an uplift in those three categories, you're going to do well. And of course, we want to talk about maximizing cash flow, not just revenue, because revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. So we've got to generate revenue for sure, but we've got to make sure that as much of that revenue stays as cash flow. So to do that, we need to manage work in progress. We need to manage our inventory days, our stock and the consumables. We need to collect our accounts receivable. We need to manage our accounts payable. We need to reduce cost of goods sold, and we need to reduce our operating expenses. So if you get this right, you can do tremendously well. One of our clients this year in 10 months tripled their revenue by focusing on the three ways to maximize revenue. Now, not only did they triple their revenue, they 2.5 times their cash flow, which was huge. So now they've got enough cash at the bank, so they're putting money aside for a rainy day. They're taking their profit and allocating it so they've got wealth to grow outside of the practice. All their bills are covered, and of course, now they're able to have a good living along the way as well. So it's really important that you do have a handle on how to earn more. But at the very, very basics of that is the money machine. And if you don't have a money machine, you definitely need one. So get a blueprint that generates money for your practice. It's really important. And we've built a whole course around that in our academy. So the third big thing we want to talk about is leveraging your time. And of course, when it comes to time for the business owner, time can come back to team and it come back to what we're doing ourselves. So when it comes to team, obviously hiring people is part of the process, and sometimes they look great on paper but don't actually deliver. We've got people that might perform well some days and not other days. And when that happens, we tend to step in to fill the gap, and ultimately we end up trapped in the business. And that's not much fun, because then you end up doing dentistry by day and trying to run the business by night. And that's tiring. And we want to help you become business owners, not just great operators, but we want to give you, as I said, a practice and a life. And to create the life part, we need to create time. So what you really want instead is you want to have team members that do what they say. And you want them working to their potential, and a team that steps up so that you're ultimately freed up. So that means we need to have some evaluation methods in place. Many of you heard me speak about the performance culture matrix before, where we need to determine whether people are a great culture fit and how well they perform in their role. And that leads us to a situation where we categorize people as A, B, C, or D players. And just to be clear, this does not reflect on whether they're nice people or not. It just reflects on how well they're going in their role. And so in reality, what that means is that if you've got an A player, they're a great culture fit, but they're also a great performer. And so a B player is someone who's a great culture fit, but they've got some skills to develop along the way. So maybe they're new to dentistry, or maybe they're in a new role within the practice, but they've just got some skills to develop. A C player is someone who's not a great culture fit, but they do perform quite well in their role. And this sort of person is the one that gives the practice owner the most grief. We've all had situations where we've been lying awake at night thinking about a particular team member. We get a little bit worried about losing them because they've got a skill set. We're not quite sure how we'd close that gap if they were to leave. And so we sometimes turn a blind eye to some of the things that annoy us or don't quite feel right. And my suggestion is you need to deal with that straight up. And you need to deal with that straight up, because if you don't, the culture of the whole practice is going to erode, and you run the risk of losing your A's and B players who are great culture fits because the C player is souring the culture for everyone. And a D player is someone who's not a great culture fit, and nor are they a great performer in their role. They might be the loveliest person on the planet, but they're just not the right person for your team, and they need to find other things to do with their life. So once we've identified who's who in the zoo, we need to be able to have a process for training people. We need to regard ourselves as a trainee organization first and foremost if we've got any hope of scaling. So that means we need to have a structured process, not just for recruitment, onboarding, but for training. And we need to be able to bring people into the practice and get them up to speed really quickly, and then keep score. So that's a little bit about leveraging the team, but we also need to maximize your time. And that means we need to focus on activities that make the biggest difference. So utilizing your time for the highest and best use. And those types of activities are generally related to on the business rather than in the business. And they have a high impact in terms of their effective hourly rate or in terms of moving the practice forward. So we need to look at what we're spending our time on now. And I'd encourage everyone to write down all the activities that you do and ask yourself, am I spending time on an administrative activity, a clinical activity, on the business activities, personal activities, or even household activities? And then as it relates to the business, if you're spending time doing admin tasks, I'm going to ask you to consider at least to think about either delegating, eliminating, or automating that process. I see so many business owners creating a rod for their back because they're doing the bookwork or they're doing something that's just not the highest and best use of their time. And so we need to free up some time by getting rid of some of those low-end tasks. You know, if you are looking to get rid of admin tasks, you can hire someone for $30 an hour. And that's just clearly not the best use of your time to be doing those things. So then we need to look at how you use your time more broadly. And, you know, one of the tools that we have in our world is a default diary. And a default diary is templating your time like you would in your appointment book at work, but it's templating your time outside of that. So you've got some time put aside for key person meetings, critical thinking, your health and well-being, family time, and then, of course, business as usual sort of things. And we suggest, you know, planning each week using a weekly planner to map out what are the key priorities you need to achieve that week, making sure you're not doing too much. So just three or four key activities as it relates to, you know, one or two key projects, making a list of who you need to connect with and so on and so forth, so that you've got the week planned before it begins. So when you do have that time in your default diary, you're not sitting down going, oh, now what do I need to do? You've planned the week in advance. And at the end of the week, you get to review how you went, what worked, what didn't. And then, of course, from there, you can make adjustments and changes for the following week. So when it comes to 2020 and making the best year ever for you, I'm not sure what's going to have the biggest impact for you personally. Maybe it's getting clear about your plan. Maybe it's knowing what your 10-year vision is, what the 3-year goals and the 1-year milestones are. And I think that's imperative. I really do think that's imperative. It might be that you need to generate revenue and cash flow and really make sure you're getting paid what you're worth. And you've got some thoughts around that. And then, of course, when it comes to time, we want to make sure you've got time for everything. You're not drowning under the weight of the work that needs to be done. So again, we've given you some thoughts around, you know, how to leverage your team and how to leverage your time better. So when it comes to 2020, I really hope that 2020 is the best year ever for you. And as I said, it begins with a bit of reflection on 2019, what worked, what didn't, and making sure that you've got a plan, you've got some tools and resources, as well as some support to help you get that done. So I'm wishing you all the very best for 2020. If we can help in any way, please do reach out, come and find us, hello@savvydentist.com, and we'd be really happy to find you there. Until next week, take good care, and we'll catch up soon. All right, bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.